Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you. Thank you for joining us. I hope that you're looking forward to a great Christmas season, time of celebrating our Lord's birth. I'm so thankful for Him giving us this time to be together and that He wants us to know Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer together. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, for your love and your grace. Father, for your desire for us to know you. Father, for you sending your Son, O Lord. Father, to be our Savior, just to bring us into yourself. Father, we thank you for that. Lord God, be with us now. Open our minds and our heart, O God, to hear from you, to grow in your grace. Lord, to worship you in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm sure by now you are in the middle of the holiday season, trying to get everything ready, and I hope that you have a wonderful time of Christmas celebration. Hope that you get to observe all the traditions that you enjoy with all the people that you enjoy. I hope there's everything that you are hoping for and more. But you know, for me personally, the favorite part that I have about the Christmas season, outside obviously of focusing upon our Lord's birth, is gift giving. I love to think about the perfect gift for that person. Love to try to find it, just the right one. Get it shipped, get it delivered, which this year that's all the more of a challenge. Wrap it, which in our home is always a joke. Daddy wrap is always kind of a butt of many jokes. But then just watch their eyes when they open it and then seeing if I truly did find just the perfect gift for them. And I think most of us enjoy that, especially the older that we get, the more we enjoy giving the gifts than receiving them. And yet as hard as we might try to find the perfect gift, we can't give it, because the perfect gift has in fact already been given. The perfect gift is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one whose birth we're remembering as we celebrate this season. He is in fact the perfect gift. And as we open God's Word to Galatians chapter 4, in verses 4 and 5, we see what makes Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the perfect gift. And so look with me, Galatians chapter 4, and look at verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. When we think about our Lord as the perfect gift, we see that He was perfect in time. As we read in this verse, in verse 4, when the fullness of the time came, when the time was right, when the time was exactly right, historians look back and tell us that you could not have found a better time than the first century, the better place than what we call the Holy Land, than then and there for the Messiah, in fact, to be sent. That was the perfect time politically. Rome was at its zenith. There was what we call the Peace of Rome. That was brutal. None of us would want to have lived in it and are thankful that we did not. But it was a stable time. That's why later on the apostles could go on the missionary journeys. They would travel on Roman roads. They would sell on Roman shipping lanes. There was stability throughout the empire. It was perfect politically. It was also perfect in terms of culture. Although Rome was the dominant world empire, they had assimilated the previous empire of Greece, obviously, within their own and absorbed their culture. And although most of it was incredibly sinful, there was one aspect in particular that made it the perfect time, and that was the Greek language. The most perfect language that if you wanted to be able to convey exactly what you wanted to say, there's never been a language before or since better than first century Koine Greek. And it was in that language that the apostles were inspired to write the New Testament. So it was perfect in culture. It was also perfect in terms of religion. Throughout the Roman Empire, because Jews had been dispersed throughout the known world, wherever you went, you found a group of people who knew who the true living God was. In the midst of all the false gods and false religions of the first century, and the world ours is trying all the more to become like, there was always a group of people who knew who the true living God was. And wherever you would find 10 Jewish men, you would find a synagogue. And where was it that the apostles, you think about Paul and his journeys, where did Paul always go first whenever he came to a new city? He'd always go to the synagogue. So our Lord was the perfect gift in time. He came at just the right time, politically, culturally, religiously. Our Lord is in fact the perfect gift because he came there at the very perfect time, but he's also perfect in his person. Think of what we see here in the middle of verse 4. God sent forth his Son, the only begotten Son of God, which means that he's God in every way. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, two persons, and the Word was God, but in one God. Of course, you add the Trinity, you add the Holy Spirit, you have the Trinity. And so we have God the Son. And yet, what is it that we see about God the Son? God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. The only begotten Son of God was, in fact, born through or of a woman, Mary, of course, and became all man. And so, Son of God, perfect in his nature, he became a man and lived an absolute perfect life, but we see the fact that he is in fact perfect in his person, all God, all man. He did not lose any of his godness, godhood is what we'd call it, by becoming a man, and he was no less a man because he was all God. But not only was he perfect in his purpose, in his person, he also is perfect in his fulfillment. Notice what we see there, perfect in time, he was perfect in his person, but notice as well that he was perfect in his purpose. Look what we see in the latter part of verse 4, born under the law so that he might redeem those who are under the law. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, perfect in every way, lived an absolute sinless life. So he was perfect in his life, and because of that, he could in fact become the one-time perfect sacrifice for our sins. He kept the law in absolute in perfection, and he lived in accordance to the Father's absolute perfect righteousness. And because of that, he could stand in our place. He could in fact be the one-time sacrifice for our sins. He could die and rise again to give us eternal life. This is what the Christmas message is all about. The Christmas message is not just about a baby in a stable, but it's about that baby being the Son of God who became man so he could live a perfect life, so he could in fact go to the cross and stand in our place. Well, did it work? Was it enough? Well, this is where we do get to what I was about to get to a moment ago, where he's perfect in fulfillment. Look what we see in the latter part of verse 5. So that we might receive the adoption as sons. You think about that. We talk about our sins being cleansed through him, and they wonderfully are. We talk about having an eternal home in heaven, and what a wonderful future awaits us who know Christ. But you think about the fact that we are adopted as God's children. Through Jesus Christ, we're in fact become part of God's eternal family. Through God's only begotten Son, we become his dearly beloved adopted sons and daughters. We, in fact, become his children. His death, burial, and resurrection was enough to make us right with God for all time. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. That's why Jesus Christ is the perfect gift. Yes, he came at the perfect time. Yes, he was perfect in his purpose. Yes, he was perfect in his life. And he was perfect in the fulfillment of why he came, to make us eternally right with himself. But you know, as we think about this gift, I have to ask you, have you personally received that gift? You know, a gift that you leave under the tree, that you never open, never take with you, doesn't help you until you personally take it and open it. Have you personally taken Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior? Child of God, is this what you are celebrating and remembering this time of the year? I know we're in the midst of this last week. I know everything is a little chaotic right now. But take a moment and remember what we're celebrating, what we are remembering. The birth of our Savior. And then think about those who need that gift. You're thinking, you know, I know we all have a gift list, individuals that we're trying to buy gifts for. Well, you think of the people that you know who among them needs to have this greatest gift of all? Which among them have never trusted Christ, or at least you are concerned that they haven't? Why don't you share with them this greatest gift? No matter what else you may ever give them, this is what they need most of all. Jesus Christ, the greatest gift. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, again, we thank You for Your love and Your grace, Your salvation. Father, especially this time of the year, we remember You giving Your Son. Father, I pray that everyone watching this has received Christ as their Savior. And if not, O God, that by Your Spirit You bring them to salvation now. Father, I pray that all of us who know will take this time, Lord, to remind ourselves what we are celebrating. And Father, may we be mindful of those around us who have never heard or received this gift. O God, may we share it with them. Father, be with us. Thank You, O God, for Your indescribable gift of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do hope again that you have a very Merry Christmas. I hope that you truly celebrate the birth of our Lord, that you just rejoice in Him and share Him with those around.